Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fav for Casinos USA Podcast, and we are opening our 11th season today, June 11th, 2020, with our 89th podcast entitled, Now It's Beer Through a Straw. What's going on in Western Pennsylvania and around the country? Well, we'll be talking about it. And hey, what a welcome by our wonderful digital audience. We love these people because they don't make a mess in the studio. Hi, everyone. Well, Nevada opened its casinos the first week of June, and Pennsylvania has opened their casinos, and I should say our casinos because we're coming to you from Western Pennsylvania, on June 9th. But we had a little confusion right here in the Pittsburgh suburbs. The major casino downtown, actually on the north side of Pittsburgh, you cross the river from the Point, and you downstream a little bit. It's the Ohio River, actually. It is called the Rivers, and it opened at 9 a.m. on June 9th. And so they were anticipating a very large crowd after being closed for 3 months. And you're probably like me, you probably did a little gambling online, but nonetheless, I wanted to be back in a casino. Well, the casino that's comping me the best at the moment, at any time of my life, is where I probably want to go, and it was the Meadows. The Meadows Casino is outside of Pittsburgh, south of the Pittsburgh Airport, so it's closer to the airport than the Rivers Casino, but nonetheless, a little bit longer of a drive. 34 minutes became an hour and 15 minutes, you know, but nonetheless, I was getting comped there with, some match play, and they did offer me a complimentary room in the adjoining Hyatt, which is connected to the casino garage by a skywalk. It's cool, from the fourth floor of the Hyatt, but we didn't stay at the Hyatt, but we do have a complimentary room at the Meadows Hyatt combo. From Sunday through Thursday, all the way through the first few days of August. So we'll probably take one or two of those. But anyway, I was prepared to go to the Meadows around noon, and I'm thinking it was going to be 94 degrees on June 9th, or low 90s anyway. And I'm thinking, well, there's probably going to be a line, and I'll be standing outside, and it's not going to be real pleasant, you know. Well, here's what happened. Later in the day, on June 8th, I received an email, as did my wife, Janie, and the emails were just welcoming us back to the Meadows, and also it shared what our comps are, you know, at the moment, because we may have forgotten, you know, it's been so long since we've been there. Well, at the bottom of those emails, you know, I got the match plays and the free room, and Janie got free playing and slot machines. But at the bottom of those emails, it said, looking forward, to, basically, I'll paraphrase, looking forward to seeing you at our opening at 9 a.m. on June 9th. And I'm saying, well, wait a second, the news is reporting that it's going to open at noon. So I went onto the website, and the website said noon, you know, the Meadows website. So it said opening at noon, June 9th. So I called, and a security individual answered. He said security, so that's how I knew it was a security individual. I said, hey, a little bit of confusion here. What's the opening time tomorrow? Because the website says noon. He goes, no, sir, it's been changed to 9 a.m. Hope you're coming. I said, yeah, you'll see me there. So the next morning, I arrive at the Meadows, and I had to drive through commuting traffic because I live on one side of Pittsburgh, and the Meadows is on the other side, you know, out closer to the airport, as I mentioned. And so I arrived there about 8:35, and I'm coming down Racetrack Road. The Meadows has one of those buggy racetracks, if you can dig that. I don't. It's nice to see horses, but I don't dig at buggy racing. But anyway, I pull into the parking garage because it said open. It doesn't take much more than that, because I knew there wasn't valet service available, which is what I always get, but it wasn't available. So, and I think it's true almost everywhere. I'll talk about that later. So I drive the car up to the third floor, which is one floor below where the casino is, because there was a perfect spot right beside a stairway that led up to the fourth floor, and that's the entrance at the casino. So I said, this is great. So I get up there, and there's one man sitting in a chair. I said, good morning, sir. I said, don't tell me this place is opening at noon. He goes, no, no. I just asked security because I was afraid of that, too. He said, it's opening at 9, which was like, you know, in 20 minutes. And he said, hey, my wife and I, we stayed at the Hyatt last night, and it's really about her. I promised her we'd stay here. It was very low rates last night, he said, and she wanted to be here for this, so I got to get a hold of her and tell her, hey, let's go, 20 minutes. Anyway, so I walked up right close to the entrance, I mean, 10 yards from the front door, and it was still, I shouldn't say roped off, but that movie line kind of thing, you know. And the guy yells over to us, it's about 12 minutes to 9, and he says, hey, I got the okay to open up. So I thought I was going to be the first one in the Meadows. Oh, my goodness, I was so excited. And this lady comes walking in another door, and she beats me. All right. So, hey, Coach Fat was the second person in the Meadows when it reopened. Okay. So I go in, and I walk down to the Players Club because I had, and I seldom do this, I couldn't find my player's card, you know. So I went down. I had to get my voucher printed out anyway for $25 match play. I'm going to get one of those every week. I'm excited about that. And usually they'll let you, like, if you got $25, they'll let you go all fives or whatever you wanted, two tens and a five or, you know, a 15 and a 10, whatever you wanted. And today she said, no, we're just supposed to give you out whatever the voucher says. I said, I don't care. I was planning on opening up a little higher anyway. So there you go. I get a $25 match play. And I know Keno Nick, who lives, an hour 15 away from me. he lives in the Connellsville area, and or in Connellsville itself. And I live in the northern suburbs, not that area of western Pennsylvania. And so anyway, I give him a call, and I say, hey, Nick, don't rush because there's nobody here. There's like, by that time, like in 10 minutes, there was like 25 people in the casino. So he said, oh, thank God you called, because I thought, you know, because I had called him the night before and told him it was a 9 o'clock start, and he checked on it too, and he was convinced too. So he said, I was driving like a maniac. And I said, slow down, man, there's nobody here. So I actually sat down and played some video poker. Waiting for Nick and Keno Nick, that is, and I did all right. You know, I was up and down. I ended up $15 down because Nick came in and, you know, we said hello, big embrace because we had worked together for years, and it was great to see him. Love that guy. So he's Keno Nick, you know, because he plays Keno slots. So I sat down, and it's every other slot machine now. That was their social distancing thing. There wasn't any plastic, plexiglass kind of thing, dividers. Just a seat that's empty, you know, between you and the other slot player. And so I'm watching him play Keno, you know, and I don't play that. I mean, I play it sometimes, you know, with him a few minutes. But so he's playing 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Those are the numbers he selects, and he's making 50-cent bets, you know, because it's early in the morning. I figure he doesn't want to go to a – he usually plays a dollar, but I think it's probably too early in the morning. He doesn't want to burn through his money. And doggone it, doesn't he get all five numbers, and he wins $120. So he's in a great mood. Man, he's in a great mood. And I ended up about $15 down on my video poker. You know, I had – this is what happens early in the morning, you know. I probably had a $15 upside at one point, but you know how it is. It's like you just got there, you know, 20 minutes ago, so you want to keep playing, you don't stop. So anyway, it didn't matter to me. I was down $15, and I said, Nick said, I'm going to change. You want to come with me? He's going to change to another area of the casino where there's other Keno slots. And I said, nah, I said, I see the craps table was now open because it wasn't open originally. And I went down to the craps table. There was one spot left, and there was three players on each side, and there was no divider again of any type. But what was a little bit different, when I walked up, there was a pause in play when I walked up anyway, and the stick man said, sir, this young lady's going to squirt your hands. That's the only way you get your chips, you know, with Purell, you know, a sanitizer. So I'm wiping my hands off. And he said, okay, now we can take your money and give you chips, you know. So that was a little different, you know. And then because there was so much distance between me and the other two players on my side of the table, I actually had a little notebook because I wanted to chart some a little bit. And I don't know, I figured, I don't chart when there's people around me, you know, it just annoys them. And I don't want to be that kind of a person. But there was nobody around me, so I put my little pad down there, you know, kid reporter. And I had told myself, even though I don't prefer to play this way, I had told myself I'm going to start out in the don'ts. Doggone it, I'm going to start out in the don'ts. So if you're not a craps player, let me explain this to you. And you craps veterans, just hang on a second. Craps has a very compilated board, but it's a very simple game. So when there's a new game in craps, you'll notice that the puck, just like a hockey puck, is black, and it's on one side of the point numbers. The point numbers are those big numbers on the felt, the 4, the 5, the 6, the 8, the 9, and the 10. So it's on the outside of those numbers on either side of the table. And so you know it's a new game. So if you're going to play the pass lines at all, you can put money on the pass line or you can put money on the don't pass. And if you put money on the pass line and someone rolls a 7 or 11, you win. If someone rolls a 2, 3, or 12, you lose. If you put money on the don't pass, which means you're going to bet against the shooter, and somebody rolls a 7 or 11, you lose. A 2, 3, you win, and a 12 is a push. You don't win or lose, and that's kind of helps the casino. On the come-out roll, the pass line has the advantage, and that's because there's more ways to make a 7 than any other number. I'll just simplify. It's the most likely number to come up because there's more ways to make a 7. So if you're on the pass line, you know, that's a great place to be on the come-out roll. But I told myself I was going to start on the don'ts, and I started with $50 because I had $25, and the match play $25 was made at a $50 bet. Whoa! So I had to sweat that because I wanted a point number to be established. And a point number means that when that shooter rolls the dice and he rolls a 4, a 5, a 6, an 8, or a 9, or a 10, the puck gets turned over to the white side and gets moved to the top of that number, which means the shooter has to make that number before he or she rolls a 7. So that means now the don't pass line, which is not as popular to play, has the advantage. So there I was. I said, oh, please don't roll a 7. You know, please don't roll a 7. So it was a young lady on the other end of the table. What does she shoot? She throws a deuce, you know, snake eyes. And so I win. So I start my day with a $50 win. It was good for me. So that was a great way to start. So I went down to starting from $20 in the next come out roll because that ended that game. So I went to $20 on the dome pass, and listen to this. You know, now that I had this thing going my way, I put $6 on Hop the Reds, which you're not supposed to say 7. So the $6 bet would pay $26. So, oh my goodness. So I would win a dollar. If, you know, somebody rolled a 7, I'd lose the $25 on the dome pass, but I'd win a dollar. So I didn't play odds. You know, again, you know, mock me if you will. I didn't play odds. And dice went around the table. Every time somebody sevens out, you know, they have an established point and they throw a 7 and all the pass line players lose. The dice move to the next shooter. I've always been upset by people who say they crapped out. You can only crap out, throw a 2, 3, 12 and lose from the pass line on the come out roll. After that, you have to 7 out. Please stop saying I crapped out when you sevened out, okay? That's for you craps players. All right, so I had a good time, and I walked away. I didn't win every time. There were shooters that made a couple points, but overall, we went around, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. I walked away with $280. So I closed up, and I called Nick. I said, I'm going to have lunch here, and then I'm going to hit the road, because it was noon. It was starting to fill up a little bit, and Nick said, oh, yeah, that's about time for me, too. But he goes, I'm not going home, but I'll join you for lunch. So, you know, again, we were all wearing masks. And I went into not the eatery like in Park MGM. They call it the eatery, E-A-T-E-R-Y, eatery. I guess it's a play on that. And all the restaurants weren't open, but I did. Their pizza place was open. And Nick said, the pizza's great, so we each had 2 giant pieces, and it was delivered to our table in a box. The waitress had a mask on. We had a mask on. Of course, you could take them off to eat. but I got a beer. So they give you a beer with a lid on it, and it has a paper straw that you have to take the paper off and put the straw in, you know. I guess it's for your protection. So I said, like, the hell with that. So I take the lid off. I start to drink the beer. So a security guy walks over and says, sir, I'll refund your money. But you have to drink it with the lid on through the straw. So, you know, I said, okay, I didn't, so I put it back on. So what the hell is that? Now you think about that. I hope you are open-minded enough to agree with me. After the protest around the country on the death of George Floyd, and, you know, rightfully so, there's nobody could defend the policeman who kneeled on him so long that he passed. And so there's no way anyone can defend that. Certainly I don't. But ever since that time, when you saw mayors and governors who had formerly threatened to put you in prison or fine you if you didn't follow the CDC regulations about masks and social distancing, and, you know, we saw our mayor out there, you know, dancing and singing with the protesters. Like, I'm thinking, like, what the hell? Why do I have to drink beer through a straw? And why do I have to wear a mask? But hey, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And that's how it's going to be in the casinos. My grandson is a dealer at the Strat, which is the new name. Golden Entertainment owns it now for the Stratosphere. And I get a chance to talk to him a couple times a week. And then my daughter obviously lives in Henderson, which is just 4 miles from the Strip, 4 or 5 miles from the Strip, down the road from the Tropicana on the Las Vegas Strip. You run into Henderson. Beautiful place to live. And it's the home, really, base of the Las Vegas Raiders. And the real estate in Henderson, wow, it's going up because the Raider players are coming in and buying homes, you know? I mean, real estate's down everywhere because of the economic downturn, but holy cow, not in Henderson, Nevada. But, you know, she said in some bars, our daughter Jill said, in some bars, the wearing a mask it's up to you. It's not required, it's preferred. And she also said that, yes, you've seen people get their beer with caps on them and also drinking through straws. But she said in other places, it's up to you. So, I mean, every state's a little different, but how long can we go with drinking beer through a straw? And I had one beer because I just couldn't stand it. You know, that's not like me either, you know. It's not like me either. The opening up casinos around the country are slow. All the Strip casinos didn't open up. I understand that the Luxor is opening up shortly, I think the last week of June here, and a few others will be opening up. I don't know how long it'll be until all the Strip casinos are open, and the same is true with all the casinos in Nevada. They're not all open. They can open, but, you know, the major gaming companies are kind of going slow with it, you know, going slow with it and seeing how things are. So that's the situation. You know, we go to Wheeling, West Virginia to play. It's just down the road, you know, 20 minutes maybe from the Meadows, but it's in a different state. And we also go to those famous river boats that who now have can put casinos on land in southern Indiana, and that's the Hollywood, Lawrenceburg, and then the Rising Star and Rising Sun, Indiana, and then the Belterra in Florence, Indiana. And, you know, I don't know if those places are open or not. I'm sorry. I did know, but I'm making a podcast here, and that just slipped my mind. But we're hoping they soon open, and we hope that this all gets back to what the real normal is. You go to a casino, you know, you have fun, you don't need to wear a mask or gloves or drink a beer through a straw, you know. Kind of takes the romance out of it, right? Kind of takes the romance out of it. But the CDC, I mean, it's amazing how screwed up they get. They made an announcement, you know, recently that asymptomatic people really can't spread the disease. And then the next day they backed out of that a little bit, you know. So that's one of the problems I'm having. You get no true leadership from your elected officials, because when they think it's okay to violate social distancing, you know, it's okay. But when they don't, they don't, you know. So you can get a receipt from a cashier at Walmart, but your high school principal can't hand a senior graduate their diploma. You tell me, what the hell's the difference, you know? So it's very confusing, very confusing. And it's still not resolved about fans in the stands. You know, NASCAR is running races. God bless NASCAR. With nobody in the stands, what's going to happen? Is it going to be like that with football, college football in particular? That really troubles me. NFL football, is it going to be like that with hockey? Like, what's going on? I mean, how long we have? And I hear conflicting reports. You know, I hear reports that the virus is still contagious, but it's not as powerful as it was. It altered somehow. And then I hear other reports that, you know, it's a killer. It's a killer. So I guess in the end, I'm just happy that the casinos that I frequent the most, obviously the ones here in Western Pennsylvania, we haven't been to Lady Luck yet or the Rivers, but we'll get there very shortly, are open. And I hope they're open in your state. I hope your state has casinos too, you know, because all the states don't. I think it's 41 states that have casinos, and then the tribal casinos too. You know, I'm not sure how they're regulated in terms of opening. I think a lot of them are open though. But of course, before you go to a casino, I would suggest that you call and get the necessary information. Do you need a mask? Or if you don't have a mask, are you going to give you a mask? You know, what's the scoop? Are the restaurants open? All those important questions. If not, which ones? If not all the restaurants, are some of the restaurants open? You know, plan your day accordingly. All right. And if any of our listeners want to talk about their opening day experiences, it sounds like trout fishing or hunting, you know, your opening day experience, but the opening of the casinos that you enjoy the most, just give us a call and we'll put you on our podcast. You have up to 5 minutes to tell us your story. Just call us at 1-724-519-4556. That's 1-724-519-4556. That's our voicemail answering service 24/7 for your pleasure. So, hey, consider it. You have a good story to tell about your opening day experiences at a casino? Give us a call and we'll play it in our next episode. Let's take a short break and we'll be right back for part two of today's podcast.
Hey, this is Keno Nick calling from Connorsville. Just wanted to say that yesterday on June 9th, I made my way back to the Meadows for the grand reopening, met up with the CEO of Casinos USA. We had a wonderful lunch and we had a wonderful time. Things were a little different where you had to drink beer from a straw, where the head of Casinos USA decided to take his lid off for a second and the pit boss wasn't too happy and asking to put it back on or he would be politely asked to leave. So he did comply with that, and you did have to wear a mask the whole time, which was not the most fun, but you got used to it after a while. The head of Casinos USA left with $280 playing craps. He did a fantastic job. Also was hitting a bunch of three-of-a-kinds on the video poker. I myself on the Keno had hit $100 early, played for it for a while. It started to go down, and then after lunch, I hit for another $100. And ended up staying at the Meadows for 6 hours and leaving by just breaking even. So I got 6 hours of fun and did not lose any money. It was a great day to get back to this casino, so I hope everybody gets out and enjoys themselves. Welcome back to real world life.
Well, there's a call in from Keno Nick. So thanks, Nick. Forget quitting when you're ahead, when you're having fun. I agree with you. I didn't realize you stayed all day, but that's okay. All right, hang on, everybody. We'll be starting part three.
May I please have your attention? The store will be closing in 5 minutes.
And talking about closing stores, we're going to bring in Janie for her commentary today.
Hi, everyone. This is Jane, here to talk about how the pandemic has changed the way we enjoy or not enjoy casinos now. And we've been, if you remember, I don't know, on one of our last podcasts, the one before Easter, we talked about a friend of ours who gives up going to the casinos for Lent. And we were actually leaving church with her the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. And she said, well, you know, I'm going to the casino right now, but this is the last day I go before Lent. And then I go back on Easter Sunday. And we had quite a laugh about that. Little did we know at that time we were all giving them up for Lent. And, you know, we haven't been back either. So one of the things that's, I guess everybody's fixated on washing their hands, cleaning their hands. You need to keep hand sanitizer with you if you could get it. I was fortunate enough to have purchased a lot at a store in the mall, the little personal hygiene, the cleansing hand sanitizer. So we had plenty of that for us, but they're everywhere now, as Coach tells me, in the casinos. As you know, this podcast is mainly about the opening of the casinos on June 9th in Pennsylvania. And Coach told me about how many hand sanitizer dispensers are there, and that people, women will come around and clean your hands off at the craps table before you start to play or before you get the chips. I was supposed to go on that trip with him, but I changed my mind. I have to admit, I got a little bit chicken and thought, you know what, I'm just not sure. I actually thought it would be very crowded, that we'd have to wait in line. And I think possibly because there was a mix-up in the emails as far as the time to open, that's why it wasn't as crowded. But even at that, I don't believe it was very crowded from everything that he told me. But I have to admit, I was still a little bit nervous. So I think that's going to be with us for a while, and until maybe we get used to that. And we also know that there'll be no stadium-size crowds at any of the venues at the casinos. No large concerts, no nightclub parties, no pool parties. Now, I do understand the pools are open at some of the casinos already, and more will open, but they're not going to have any of the parties at the pool or any of the nightclub parties, which have been so popular. Another factor that's moved out are the buffets. In fact, I just called the Cosmopolitan today because they have such a famous Wicked Spoon buffet there, where they actually plated a lot of the food. They were unusual in that respect, but they told me today that the buffet is entirely closed right now. And I think what we'll see is that buffets will reopen, but they will move to an old-fashioned kind of buffet. If you remember how at celebrations, at parties, at graduations, at weddings especially, at least in Western Pennsylvania, there would be buffets, but there were always attendants that dished out the food for you, put it on your plate for you. So no one was actually handling the spoons or utensils that went into the food. And even now in a lot of the buffets, there's always someone at the meat counter where the turkey breast and the roast beef and the ham, there's someone there to cut those portions and serve them to you. So I think we'll be seeing more of that, don't you?
Yeah, I do think so, but I don't even know they're going to come back for a while in any form.
Well, that's true. I think people are just waiting to see what happens. So that's changed. And the one thing I always liked about the buffets was there was always such a choice, because as we all know, I have a hard time deciding what I want to eat. And then, of course, there's the general fear of being in any crowd. And you might, you know, from being quarantined in your home for so long and maybe venturing out to a grocery store, where else has anybody been? So you're just afraid of even a little group of 20.
This is still so prevalent around the country. And I think the best example, Janie, is Penn State right here in Pennsylvania, you know, at State College. Yeah, they talk about their tailgating and, 85,000 people, approximately the size of the Buckeye Stadium in Ohio. It's right now, they don't even know if they're going to have anybody at the stadium at all. Maybe students. Notre Dame said they'll have students, but maybe not people. I mean, and the NFL is talking about possibly playing games without fans. I mean, so this is just crazy.
Well, right. And also when we stopped on our last podcast, or the ones before the pandemic, talking about it, we were so excited about the March Madness and the sports books. I was so excited about the sport books. We had just come back from the state of Indiana checking out three of them there, and we haven't even gotten to use any yet since that first time, because they've all been closed. We also have to take into account flying. Now, two of my grandchildren have flown already. One flew at the end of May from Las Vegas to Pennsylvania, and the other one flew from Pennsylvania to Las Vegas and back. Now, they enjoyed the flights. They each had their own row of seats on the plane. They had masks. They had hand sanitizers and had pictures of the airports, which were totally empty. You know Las Vegas airport's never empty any hour of the day. But the pictures there were amazing. You couldn't see anybody else. So I have to take into consideration that fear, although I'm thinking now everything is cleaner than it's ever been before. We have this elevated hygiene mentality everywhere. I know from what you told me about the casinos, and I know that they do this in restaurants too, and just about everywhere, everything is cleaned and cleaned so often, and everybody's very conscientious, at least that I've seen in grocery stores or in the dollar stores or the post office. Those are the only places I've been.
Well, the Meadows, the women that come around and put the Purell on your hands, they don't clean your hands. They just pour it on your hands, and then you have to clean it. Now, the dealers at the craps table are looking at you, and if you don't get your hands clean, they won't cash in the money and give you chips because they want to keep those chips sanitized too.
Right, so, which is really hard to
do. Yeah, it's hard to do. So they switch out the chips more often and bring more sanitized chips in. But if you're a player and you come into the table, you have to get your hands squirted with Purell, and they have to see you, you know, rub your hands together like you were washing them and get that through. And only then will they take your money. That's that elevated hygiene mentality that is obviously a part of our way of life now.
I think it is, and I think that applies to everywhere. You know, when did you ever see all the people working in the grocery store cleaning the shelves, cleaning the counters, cleaning the register areas? I mean, everything is cleaned all the time now, around the clock.
You know, we're scheduled to go to the Luxor in July, and, you know, I was just reading about M Life in general. Instead of telling you how much fun you're going to have at the Luxor or any other of their hotels, they're telling you how clean they are. Yeah. Like, we never thought about that, you know. We thought, like, what are they offering? What can we do? You know, well, how can we have fun? What are the shows? You know, what's going on? What are the promotions? Now they're saying, you'll enjoy this because it's clean. It's a whole different mentality.
It is a different mentality, and I refuse to let it spoil everything for me. I have to say, though, all the hotels we ever stay at have always been clean. I haven't had an issue with any of them. I've never been sick at any of them either, or from any buffet I've ever eaten at.
Well, I wanted to ask your view on this final thought, you know, because you hear this on the news, the media, and then you also hear it just in conversations, and people will say they're not going to vacation at all until there's a vaccine. So what's your thinking on that?
Well, number one, there may never be a vaccine. You know, it could be here in a year. It could be here in 2 years. It might never come, though, a specific vaccine for the COVID-19. As we know, viruses mutate and change. And so it's just like the flu shots. They're never 100%, or maybe not even close. But I would be happier if there was one, yes. But I realize that probably half the population won't even get one once they're out.
Yeah, okay, so I guess a good sports bet would be, when are we going to have to, or when are we going to be permitted to not even wear a mask? And I couldn't make that bet because I have no idea.
Well, that's the part that bothers me, and one of the reasons that I didn't want to go when you went to the Meadows was I'm not comfortable in a mask all day. I didn't think I could be there all day with it. Now, if we were staying there, then I would have just taken a break and gone over to the hotel, or if we're in a hotel, I'll just go to the room for a while, you know, take a break. I'm sure I'll get more used to it.
No, I agree with you, Janie. That's a tough situation to wear a mask, you know, for hours like that. Sure, you can take it off to eat. You can take it off to take a sip of a drink through a straw, I might add. But that's a tough situation. Hey, and I want to thank you for contributing to our commentary today. And I know you're thinking about our trip to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Now, I'm saying that if I didn't have children and grandchildren in Las Vegas, I wouldn't go. And it's not because of the pandemic, per se, at all. I just prefer some of the more local venues, you know, when we go to Southern Indiana or we go to the casinos in Maryland. I like doing that. Or even out in Indiana, Northern Indiana, on the Great Lakes there, on Michigan.
That's probably a good point. You know, how many times can you go back to Vegas? And some people will say, well, I'll go back, and it'll never end. But I think there's others that say, you know, you've been there enough that you want to try something else. I mean, not saying they're not going to try casinos, but they want to go somewhere else. And I can understand that. Like, we always will have a reason to go to Las Vegas.
Right, we do. Now, again, if you're going to Vegas under normal, former conditions, where you go to see a lot of shows, or you're going to see the Knights, and now you can go see the Raiders, hopefully, or the Aces basketball. You know, that those are things you want to do that you can only do there. I can see that, but if I can't go to those, I wouldn't go. But because we have family there, I'll always want to go, and then we go to Reno, too.
Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. Again, thanks a lot, Janie. We'll see you in our next podcast, and also when we close the podcast down, I'll see you in the next 2 minutes.
And a big shout-out and thank you to Keno Nick for calling in. We appreciate that. And to all of our listeners, despite all the problems in the world and in our country, we still seek life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we hope that you do too. Casinos USA is a special place where every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks. So long.